I will hear from wrong, and I'll die in the
mirror. Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Defender 7 Monday Night Broadcast with your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Now, before we get on with our show tonight, I need to read our disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on Defender 7 radio show and Facebook page are those of the callers and or authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Defenders 7. Now, for those of you new just tuning in, if you haven't already, check out our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. That's Defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two large eyes. Now, before you click on that join button, just know that we expect all of our members and our future members to participate throughout everything we do in the Defender 7 group. If you feel it's not for you, or you don't want to participate, you can always leave. No hard feelings. We also have a YouTube channel. Check us out there. And click that subscribe button. Help us out with followers. We're on MeWe. Click on organizations. Scroll all the way down to Defender 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Now, for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on our live broadcast, we enjoy it when you call in with your opinions, thoughts. Everybody's opinion matters, good, bad, or otherwise. And that number to call, area code 914-205-5773. Again, the number to call to participate, area code 914-205-5773. Now I'm going to turn the microphone over and welcome our colonels, Kimberly Purvis, Colonel John McCullen, and our major of Wisconsin, Miss Lorna Munson, a.k.a. Slacker.
It's Wisconsin. Wisconsin present and awake.
How's everybody doing?
Yeah, we doing.
Yeah, another day.
Another day, not another dollar.
No.
No, more like another penny.
Exactly.
Mine is more like not another dollar because I ain't making mine.
Well,
I enjoyed
my day yesterday. I did thoroughly enjoy my day yesterday, though.
That's good.
I had my grandbabies over. Had the grandbabies over. And then my buddy from my hometown that lives in Florida that I hadn't seen, last time I saw him was 5 years ago. Him and his wife stopped in, stayed overnight.
That's awesome.
They'll be back again tomorrow night on their way back home.
Hey, I'll be in Philly on Saturday eating a cheesesteak.
Oh, you going to Philly?
Yeah, we're going to leave a day early and go over to Philly, drive by and see the Kennedy and probably the Liberty Bell.
There you go.
And then we're going to head up, go through Delaware and take the ferry down to Norfolk. And then we're going to go to D.C. and go see the Niagara Falls. And then come home.
Niagara Falls?
Yeah.
In D.C.?
No, in New York.
Because you just mixed me up. You said you were going to D.C.
I know.
And
I know.
You're
going to D.C. to
see
Niagara
Falls.
I'm like, okay.
I jumped ahead. I got weather's brain.
Leave it up.
Okay.
Yeah, leave it to John.
Is he back?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything from him.
I think he was
getting
back.
But everything seems to be getting closer to falling more apart in this country, man.
Oh no shit. I was just telling, well, I don't know, John, I don't know if you saw it in the staff room. I was telling him about Texas. It's about to get ugly for Texas Democrats.
No, I didn't see it. You tell.
Okay. So Abbott told the legislators that they got up and walked out. They were having their meeting or whatever it was, and the Democrats got up and walked out. So Abbott said, fine, you don't work, you don't get paid. Well, when that was last month, well, this month they didn't get paid. They're pissed. But they're getting ready to flee Texas on private jets to go to D.C. to stop a voting restriction bill. And they will be arrested. They tried this shit in 2003. And so, what was it?
Yeah,
the Democrats
get arrested
in the
just
Texas
like
House.
The Clintons and all of them.
Well, no. Well, here's what happened. The Texas Rangers went to arrest all of them. This is in 2003 they tried this. So they plan to flee the state in order to stop the House Republicans from being able to pass a series of voting restrictions, which is you need to have a voter ID or a picture ID, something that says who you are and that you live where you live, right? Well, they want to stop it, which is bullshit because that just means with everything going on in Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia, they know the fraud is there. They've seen it and all that shit. So, they want to pass a series of voting restrictions during a special session of the legislature. Multiple news organizations reported today, if successful, the highly unusual and risky strategy would prevent they're trying to stop the quorum, the Democrats are. So they tried, like I said, they tried this shit in 2003. And they need... let's see, it says they need more than 51 of the 67 House Democrats, minimum, to stop it. Okay, and here I'm going to tell you where it gets down to. They're expected to leave in private jets from Austin, Texas, to arrive in D.C. by early tonight, is what they're hoping. Under state law, the fleeing lawmakers that remain in Texas can be arrested by law enforcement authorities and legally compelled to return to the Capitol if any member of the House moves to secure and maintain a quorum. Hold on, where is it at? All absentees for whom no sufficient excuse is made by order of a majority of those present be sent for and arrested wherever they may be found, by the sergeant at arms or an officer appointed by the sergeant at arms. So they flee. They're still getting arrested. no matter what. So they tried, like I say, they tried this in 2003. They were trying to find out where it was at. It's HB1 and HB3. That's House Bill 1 and 3. That's the two bills they're trying to pass. And they walked off the floor in May. And the Democrats refused to vote on it. And they think that just because you don't vote, you don't, you know, it doesn't, whatever. But in 2003, 51 Texas Democrats fled to neighboring Oklahoma in order to block the Republicans from passing and redistricting plan that would have given the GOP an additional 5 seats in the chamber. So the House Republicans ordered the Texas Rangers and state troopers to search for any Democrats still in the state. When the House plan failed, Democratic state senators flew to New Mexico to prevent the quorum in that chamber. So they tried the shit before. It didn't work. So no matter what, someone's getting arrested. So hopefully it's all the Democrats from Texas. So I don't know if it has to do with just with that or if it's other shit, like with what's going on in Arizona with the voting, the ballots and shit. So we shall see. But bunch of dumbasses. I hope they all get caught and get arrested. It's for their own good. So, and Biden's trying to pass a new gun law to reduce gun violence, but it's not gonna. With all the gun violence going on in Chicago, it's not going to help having more and more restrictions because everybody knows it's crap. People are going to buy guns whether the government wants you to have them or not. And the criminals are going to be the ones that have them. So, but, anywho, I thought we would go over Agenda 21 and this New World Order crap. I don't know if everyone has seen, there's a video about Australia going around. So apparently the New World Order has started in Australia. Have you guys seen the video yet? I found it on YouTube, actually.
Yeah.
From their news.
Yeah, it's like I said, more shit's hitting the fan.
Yeah, what they did was the news had clipped together the economic forum from Davos and little bits and pieces, and then their, I don't know, prime minister, president, whatever the hell they call their leader. Only 10 people, if you have a funeral, only 10 people are allowed to go. You're only allowed to, if you want to exercise, you can only leave 10, go 10 kilometers. I don't know how far kilometers is in miles or whatever. But you're hardly allowed to leave your house. Only one person per household is allowed to go and get any food and necessities for your house. You're not allowed to browse in department stores or any kind of store. So you have to know what you want in order for you to go get it. What was it? There was a couple other things on there as well. And they said, don't plan on going back to the way it used to be because it's not going to happen. It's permanent. So they're on a permanent lockdown in Australia. I don't know, because that Charles Schwab or whatever the hell his name is, he had a little spiel about it, they used COVID-19 was a ploy. It was all bullshit. And the New World Order actually started, I must go over the timeline. So, hold on a second. This has been more than just political. This is a religious, this is political, it's all to together. And right now they're working on a one-world government right now. And so all the countries have to get in line, which is why they had to get Trump out. That's why they worked so hard to do what they did. So I'm trying to find out, where does it say it started? By Mayor Amschel Rothschild is when it, the idea of a new world order came out. It was in 1773, before America became America. So he assembled 12 of his most influential friends and convinces them that if they all pool their resources together, they can rule the world. And the meeting takes place in Frankfurt, Germany. And Rothschild also informs his friends that he has found the perfect candidate, an individual of incredible intellect to lead the organization, Adam Weishaupt. So May 1st of 1776, Adam Weishaupt establishes a secret society called the Order of the Illuminati. Oh, by the way, guys, I am not suicidal. So if something happens to me, I didn't do it. Okay, I just thought I'd throw it out there. Because everyone keeps telling me, don't talk about the Illuminati, but I'm going by what I found on the Internet, okay? So he was a professor of canon law at the University of Ingolstadt in Bavaria. It's part of Germany. And the Illuminati would seek to establish a new world order. Their objective, abolition of all ordered governments, abolition of private property, inheritance, patriotism, the family, religion, none of it. This is part of what Agenda 21 is too. You'd own nothing and you'd be happy about it. And then of course the creation of the one world government. So in July of 1782, the Order of the Illuminati had started. They joined forces with Freemasonry at the Congress of Wilhelmsbad and the Comte de, Varou, in attendance at the conference, comes away visibly shaken. When questioned about the tragic secrets he brought back with him, he replies, "I will not confide them to you. I can only tell you that all of this is very much more serious than you think." So what they did was they used the Freemasons. They used them to get what they wanted, which is not good. So that's what he's talking about. They will use anybody to get what they want. So the insignia of the Order of the Illuminati first appeared on the reverse side of the U.S. dollar, and it's the all-seeing eye. You know, like in the movie. Nicolas Cage. There's two of them. Crap.
National Treasure.
Yeah, National Treasure. Yeah, on the back of the all-seeing eye, that's the Illuminati's. Supposedly that's their insignia. And one can read at the base of the 13-story pyramid the year 1776, and they wrote it in Roman numerals. And the eye radiating in all directions is the all-spying eye. And that symbolizes the terroristic Gestapo-like agency that Weishaupt set up. And in Latin words, annuit, yeah, I can't read that. It means our enterprise or conspiracy has been crowned with success. And Novus Ordo Seclorum, which explains the nature of the enterprise, a new social order, or a new world order. In 1785, there was a detailed plan of the French Revolution was found. So when an Illuminati courier named Lance is struck by lightning and killed while traveling up by horseback through the town of Ratisbon, when Bavarian officials examine the contents of his saddlebag, they discover the existence of the Order of the Illuminati, and they find plans detailing the coming French Revolution. And the Bavarian government attempts to alert the government of France of the impending disaster. But the French government fails to heed his warning, and they arrest all members of the Illuminati they can find. But Weishaupt and others have gone underground, and they can't find him. So in 1797, John Robinson, a professor of natural history in Edinburgh University in Scotland, publishes a book. He calls it Proof of a Conspiracy. Hold on a second. I got to let out my damn dog. Never give me a moment's peace. Sorry, guys. Hold on a second. So, I mean, a lot, you know, the whole time we've been thinking this was like when Bush Senior, when he had first brought up New World Order, but I didn't realize it was all the way back into the before America became America. So he wrote the book Proof of Conspiracy, in which he reveals that Adam Weishaupt had attempted to recruit him, and he exposed the diabolical aims of the Illuminati of the world. In 1821, George W.S. Hegel called the Hegelian dialect the process by which the Illuminati objectives are achieved. According to the Hegelian dialect, thesis plus antithesis equals synthesis. In other words, first you foment a crisis, and then there is an enormous public outcry that something must be done about the problem. So if you offer a solution that brings about the changes you really wanted all along, but which people would have been unwilling to accept. So they've been pushing this whole new world, one world government the whole time. So think about it. Even in the when Trump went to the world conference thing, 2017 or 18, whenever he went, and Trump said America will never be socialist or be a part of the New World Order. Okay. And then Charles Schwab, he even said that the coronavirus was the way to start a problem. And by doing the worldwide lockdowns and all of that. So that's exactly where they got it from, was way back when. They just had never had the opportunity to get it started. So in 1828, Mayor Amschel Rothschild, who finances the Illuminati, expresses his utter contempt for a national government which attempt to regulate international bankers such as him. Allow me to issue and control the money of a nation, and I don't care who writes the laws. So that was their whole plot, was, you know, the banking system, and everybody knows the major players and all of the banking system. So in 1848, Moses Mordecai Marx Levy, Karl Marx, writes the Communist Manifesto. Marx is a member of an Illuminati front organization called the League of the Just. He not only advocates economic and political changes, he advocates moral and spiritual change as well. He believes the family should be abolished and that all children should be raised by a central authority. And he expresses his attitude toward God by saying, we must war against all prevailing ideas of religion, of the state, of the country, and patriotism. The idea of God is the keynote of a perverted civilization and must be destroyed. So the BLM, they already said they're trained Marxists, and people, they just need to wake up and understand what it really means. So in January 22nd of 1870, Albert Pike, so in a letter to Italian revolutionary leader Giuseppe Mazzini, Albert Pike, sovereign grand commander of the southern jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, announces the establishment of a secret society within the secret society. We must create a super right which will remain unknown, to which we will call those Masons of high degree to whom we shall select with regard to our brothers in Masonry. These men must pledge to the strictest secrecy through this supreme right. We will govern all Freemasonry, which will become the one international center, the more powerful because its direction will be unknown. So within that group of Freemasons, I'm not familiar with the Freemasons, and so, because I know, wasn't George Washington a Freemason? I know there was a few of them that were. You have the lower levels, and then he's referring to the upper top elites of the Freemasons, and that's what he was referring to. The ultra-secret organization is called the New and Reformed Palladian Rite, and this is why about 95% of the men involved in Masonry don't have a clue as to what the objectives of the organization actually are. And back then, it was, they're under the delusion it's just a fine community organization doing good works, which don't get me wrong, they do. Who was the other one? The Shriners, with the Children's Hospital and all of that. So in 1875, Helena Petrovna, she found Theosophical Society. She claims that Tibetan holy men in the Himalayas, whom she refers to as the Masters of Wisdom, communicated with her in London by telepathy. And she insists that the Christians have it all backwards, that Satan is good and God is evil. And she writes, the Christians and scientists must be made to respect their Indian betters. The wisdom of India, her philosophy and achievement, must be made known in Europe and America. And I don't know about you guys, I've been seeing a lot of that lately where not Satanists, but atheists and stuff are saying that it is just like that. They're saying that Satan is good and God is bad. So, and that's their way of trying to abolish any form of religion, even the Catholic religion. And in 1884, the Fabian Society is founded in Great Britain to promote socialism. The Fabian Society takes its name from the Roman general Fabius Maximus, who fought Hannibal's army in small, debilitating skirmishes rather than attempting one decisive battle. In July 14th of 1889, Albert Pike reveals who was the one, who the true object of the Masonic worship is. Albert Pike issues instructions to the 23 Supreme Councils of the world on July 14th, 1889. And to you, Sovereign Grand Instructors General, we say this, that you may repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd, 31st, and 30th degrees. The Masonic religion should be by all initiates of the high degrees of the Luciferian doctrine. So that's what, I mean, I've been trying to find all I can about it. In 1890 to 1896, Cecil Rhodes, he's an enthusiastic student of John Ruskin, is the Prime Minister of South Africa, a British colony at the time. He's able to exploit and control the gold and diamond wealth of South Africa, and he works to bring all the habitable portions of the world under domination of a ruling elite. To that end, he uses a portion of his vast wealth to establish the Rhodes Scholarship. So in 1893, the Parliament of World Religions held in Chicago. The Theosophical Society sponsored the Parliament of World Religions that was held in Chicago, and the purpose of the convention was to introduce Hindu and Buddhist concepts such as reincarnation to the West. In 1911, the Socialist Party of Great Britain publishes Socialism and Religion. The Socialist Party of Great Britain publishes a pamphlet, like I said, called Socialism and Religion, in which they clearly state their position on Christianity. It is therefore a profound truth that socialism is a natural enemy of religion. a Christian socialist is in fact an anti-socialist. Christianity is the antithesis of socialism. And in 1912, Colonel Edward Mandel House is a close advisor of Woodrow Wilson, and he published the Philip Drew Administrator, which he promotes socialism like Karl Marx. And February 3rd, 1913, the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was making it possible for the federal government to impose a progressive income tax is ratified. Plank number 2 of the Communist Manifesto had called for a progressive income tax. In Canada, the income tax was introduced in 1917 as a temporary measure to finance the war effort. And in 1913, President Woodrow Wilson published The New Freedom, in which he reveals, since I entered into politics, I chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the U.S. in the field of commerce, manufacturing, are afraid of somebody, and they're afraid of something. And they know that there's a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful and interlocked, it's complete, pervasive, that they had better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it. You guys notice when Mitch McConnell was speaking, the person that was behind him did the all-seeing eye thing. And you could tell he was petrified, and he also had bruises all over him. So whatever it is, I mean, it's big. And people, they don't want you talking about it. December 23rd, 1913, the Federal Reserve, neither federal nor a reserve, is a privately owned institution, and it was created. It was planned at a secret meeting in 1910 on Jekyll Island in Georgia by a group of bankers and politicians, including Colonel House. This transfers the power to create money from the American government to a private group of bankers. The Federal Reserve Act is hastily passed just before the Christmas break, and Congressman Charles A. Lindbergh Sr. warns this act establishes the most gigantic trust on earth. When the president signs this act, the invisible government, by the money power proven to exist by the Money True investigation, will be legalized. In 1916, Woodrow Wilson observes, 3 years after signing the Federal Reserve Act into law, Woodrow Wilson observes, I am a most unhappy man. I have unwittingly ruined my country. A great industrial nation is controlled by a system of credit. Our system of credit is concentrated. The growth of a nation, therefore, and all our activities are in the hands of a few men. We have come to be one of the worst ruled, one of the most completely controlled and dominated governments in the civilized world, no longer by a government by free opinion, no longer a government by conviction and the vote of a majority, but a government by the opinion and duress of a small group of dominant men. So, and he finally realized what he did. And that's where it started pretty much the downfall of America. In 1917, V.I. Lenin, with aid from financiers in New York and London, he is able to overthrow the government of Russia. Lenin comments on the apparent contradiction of the links between prominent capitalists and communism. And he said, there also exists another alliance. At first glance, a strange one, a surprising one. But if you think about it, in fact, one which is well-grounded and easy to understand. This is the alliance between our communist leaders and your capitalists. And he was speaking of the Hegelian dialect. So on May 30th of 1919, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Chatham House, establishes the Royal Institute of International Affairs in England, the Institute of International Affairs in the U.S. at a meeting arranged by Colonel House and attended by various Fabian socialists, including Maynard Keyes. And then 1920, Winston Churchill. Britain's Winston Churchill recognizes the connection between the Illuminati and the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. And he said, from the days of Spartacus Weishaupt to those of Karl Marx, to those of Trotsky, Bella Kun, Rosa Luxemburg, and Emma Goldman, the worldwide conspiracy for the overthrow of civilization and for the reconstitution of society on the basis of arrested development of envious malevolence and impossible quality has been steadily growing. It played a definitely recognizable role in the tragedy of the French Revolution, and it had been the mainspring of every subversive movement during the 19th century. And now at least this band of extraordinary personalities from the underworld of the great cities of Europe and to America have gripped the Russian people by the hair of their heads and have become practically the undisputed masters of that enormous empire. And from 1920 to 1931, Louis T. McFadden, he's the chairman of the House Committee on Banking and Currency. Concerning the Federal Reserve, Congressman McFadden notes, when the Federal Reserve Act was passed, all of these United States did not perceive that a world banking system was being set up here, a super state controlled by international bankers and international industrialists acting together to enslave the world for their own pleasure. Every effort has been made by the Fed to conceal its powers, but the truth is the Fed has usurped the government. It controls everything. It controls our foreign relations and makes and breaks governments at will. Concerning the Great Depression, which we talked about Saturday, and the country's acceptance of FDR's New Deal, he asserts it was no accident. It was carefully contrived occurrence. The international bankers sought to bring, out a condition of despair here so they might emerge as rulers of us all. 1921, Colonel House reorganizes the American branch of the Institute of International Affairs into the Council of Foreign Relations. For the past 60 years, 80% of the top positions in every administration, whether Democrat or Republican, had been occupied members of that organization. So it's like what they were saying with, we're not really electing presidents. The American people are not. Every election, it's always been to have somebody in place. And I believe between Reagan or JFK and Reagan and Trump, that kind of screwed up their plans. And they were not expected to win. I'm starting to believe that it doesn't matter who we vote for, because any election could be rigged. But that's just, of course, that's just my opinion. So December 15th, 1922, the CFR endorses the world government. Author Philip Kerr states, "And from empire to commonwealth, obviously, there's going to be no peace nor prosperity for mankind as long as the earth remains divided into 50 or 60 independent states until some kind of international system is created. The real problem today is that of world government." But back then, there was only, they didn't call them countries, but I believe we have, over 200 countries right now. So... and this is of the New World Order. Anybody have any questions about anything or comments or whatever about anything so far? Besides, it's all mind blowing. Honestly, I had no idea that it went back that far. I really didn't. I just thought it really started with Bush Sr. Well, probably right. A little bit before, probably from his dad, because Honestly, I don't even remember that speech that he made about the New World Order. I don't know if you got, well, I was 17. I really wasn't into politics back then, so I didn't pay attention. Do you guys remember? I don't know how old you guys were when Bush Sr. was, when he made that comment when he was president.
I remember hearing it. I just don't remember when.
Yeah, it was. I think it was during his first term.
Right.
But like I said, nobody thought anything of it, and that's why it just. I think that's why it never went anywhere, and they couldn't get all the countries at that time because, like I said, we don't know how long they've been working on. The different strands of coronavirus. We know that the coronavirus itself is just a blanket term for all of these viruses that are naturally occurring anyway. So like SARS and MERS and all of them, they're all naturally occurring viruses, but it's just a blanket term. But they did not have COVID-19 to jumpstart. And I think that's what they've been working on this whole time, you know. But in 1928, the Opium Conspiracy, Blueprints for a World Revolution by H.G. Wells. Wasn't he the one who made The Time Machine? Didn't he write that book, The Time Machine, way back then? A lot of science fiction stuff.
Yeah, I think that's who wrote it.
Oh, okay. He's a former Fabian socialist, and he wrote The Political World of the Open Conspiracy Must Weaken, Efface, Incorporate, and Supersede Existing Government. The Open Conspiracy is the natural inheritor of socialist and communist enthusiasm, and it may be in control of Moscow before it is in control of New York. The character of the Open Conspiracy will now plainly displayed, and it will be a world religion. And honestly, this Pope that we have now, and the head—I don't know what they call—but the head of the Muslim—I don't know the Muslim, what they call Muslim clerics, or their highest of the Muslim leader—they want to start. Oh, the one world religion will be called Chislam, Christianity and Islam. And they've already done that. I believe it was last year, but they just haven't come out with it yet. The Pope had this long-winded speech, and they had to actually translate it because he doesn't speak English very well. And during that speech, and that's what he was talking about, was the one world religion. You're not going to get rid of all of Islam or all of Christianity, and there's no need in it. You really shouldn't. Everyone should have their own religion, straight up, to practice the right to practice whatever religion they want, and they should. But in 1933, The Shape of Things to Come by H.G. Wells is published. That's The Shape of Things to Come is another book. Wells predicts a second world war around 1940, originating from a German-Polish dispute. After 1945, there would be an increasing lack of public safety in the criminally infected areas. The plan for modern world state would succeed in his on its third attempt and come out of something that occurred in Basra, Iraq. And the book also states, although world government has been plainly coming for some years, although it had been endlessly feared and murmured against, it found no opposition anywhere. He was saying there was going to be a world war, and he did. And this was in 33 is when he said that. And November 21st, 1933, Franklin Roosevelt writes, the real truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that a financial element in the larger centers has owned the government since the days of Andrew Jackson. Timeline of everything, of how far it's come into the making. In 42, the Federal Council of Churches, which becomes the National Council of Churches, a part of the World Council, is lending its weight to efforts to establish a global authority. A meeting of the top officials of the council comes out in favor of a world government of delegated powers, strong immediate limitations on national sovereignty, international control of all armies and navies, the representatives of 30-some denominations assert that a new order of economic life is both imminent and imperative, a new world order that is sure to come either through voluntary cooperation within the framework of democracy or through explosive revolution. Like I say, I mean, this is, wow. It just continues, you know, and they've been pushing this. I had a brain fart. I was going to say something about it, but I forgot. The thing about the one world government, they're not saying that one person will be world president. What it's going to be is you're going to have a delegate from each country, and you come together. You know what I'm saying? Like a council or a board, if you say, and that's what they want. So it's not going to be just one person controlling the whole entire world. It'll be one representative, probably from each continent, probably seven. June 28th, 1945, Truman endorses world government in a speech. It will be just as easy for nations to get along in a republic of the world as it is for us to get along in a republic of the United States. See, we are a republic. We've always been a republic. I don't know why they keep saying democracy. October 24th, 1945, the United Nations Charter was formed. So it became effective October 24th, and Senator Glenn Taylor introduces Senate Resolution 183, calling upon the U.S. Senate to go on record as favoring the creation of a world republic, including international police force. So that's what the U.N. is. I need to go over really what the U.N. can do. I know that the U.N., they have a headquarters in New York, and they're supposed to be, when any time there's any conflict in any country, that they're supposed to go in and help, you know, the little blue helmet targets. But I wonder what they want to change their, what they can enforce. So February 7th in 1950, James Warburg, he's an international financier and a CFR member. He tells the Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee, "We shall have world government whether you like it or not, by conquest or consent." Wow. You know they never taught any of this shit in history? Ever? Did you guys learn about any of this? On anything?
No. Not
I know. Cool.
I was usually napping in that class. I was usually napping in that class.
I know I did miserable in world history, and that's probably the reason why I've been wanting to do all these history of shows, because my brain just did not want to absorb any of that knowledge, you know. But I don't remember any of this, you know, and we didn't have the internet. So it's not like we could just go look it up, you know. But and on February 9th, 1950, Resolution number 66 was introduced. Whereas in order to achieve universal peace and justice, The present charter of the United Nations should be changed to provide a true world government constitution. Yeah, you know where that's going to go. No guns, nothing. If they manage to get away with this shit, our constitution will be gone, and we won't be able to have guns. Well, we will. Well, not legally, I should say. And I think that's why they're pushing for it. And in 1952, the World Association on Parliamentarians for World Government, it drew up a map designed to illustrate how foreign troops would occupy and police the six regions into which the United States and Canada will be divided as part of their world government plan. Holy crap. This map is all jacked up. But it's pretty much North America is one, like I was saying, North America is one, South America, all of Europe is in one. Good God, this is an old map. It looks crappy. Australia and the Falkland Islands and all the little, New Zealand and all that, that's in another area. And Africa, the whole continent of Africa and part of the Middle East. That's how it's supposed to be divided up. So there will be what they want is a one world military. Probably going to be the UN is what they want. In 1954, Prince Bernard of the Netherlands establishes the Bilderbergers, international politicians and bankers who meet secretly on an annual basis. In 1961, the U.S. Senate Department issues document 7277, which is Freedom from War, the U.S. Program for General and Complete Disarmament and a Peaceful World. See? They want a complete disarmament of everybody. And it details a three-stage plan to disarm all nations and arm the U.N. in the final stage, at which no state would have military power to challenge the progressively strengthened UN peace force. And that's why we need to keep our Second Amendment, by all means. C6, Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley. And go figure, he's Bill Clinton's mentor at Georgetown University. He authors a massive volume entitled Tragedy and Hope, in which he states, there does not exist and has existed for a generation an international network which operates to some extent in way by the radical right believes the communist act. In fact, this network, which we may identify as the roundtable groups, has no aversion to cooperating with the communist or any other group, and frequently does so. I know of the operations of this network because I studied it for 20 years and was permitted 2 years in the early 60s to examine its papers and secret records. And I have no aversion to it or to most of its aims, and have for much of my life been close to it and to many of its instruments. I have objected both in the past and recently to a few of its policies, but in general, my chief difference of opinion is that it wishes to remain unknown, and I believe its role in history is significant enough to be known. Whatever all of that meant. I think that all went in one ear and out the other for myself. Sorry. In 1972, Chester M. Pierce, in his keynote address to the Association for Childhood Education International, he's a professor of education and psychiatry in the Faculty of Medicine at Harvard University, proclaims, every child in America entering school at the age of five is insane because he comes to school with certain allegiances towards our founding fathers and towards his parents and toward a belief in a supernatural being. It's up to you teachers to make all of these sick children well by creating the international child of the future. Wow. And so there you have it. They started all of this, I don't want to say critical race theory, but a form of it in the early 70s to everything that you teach your children to know right between right and wrong, your religious views, all of it. They want to brainwash and indoctrinate our children into that crap. So it's not like this shit started now. It's been in the works since then. In 1973, the Trilateral Commission was started. International banker and staunch member of the Subversive Council on Foreign Relations, David Rockefeller, founds a new organization called the Trilateral Commission, of which the official aim is to harmonize the political, economic, social, and cultural relations between the three major economic religions of the world, hence the name Trilateral. I actually saw a documentary on this on YouTube. If you guys want to, anybody, go on YouTube. And you can find any of this crap on there. I just saw this one on about the Trilateral Commission and all of this stuff. But you can look, just type up anything you want, Agenda 21, the Illuminati. You can look up, I don't care, New World Order. It's going to have a documentary on it. If I were you, I'd look it up and watch it quick because they're removing a lot of it from YouTube. Didn't Maria say, was it BitChute that she uses to, there's another way to find these documentaries before they, before they're all banned. He invites future President Jimmy Carter to become one of the founding members. I can't pronounce this dude's first name, but his last name is Brzezinski, is the organization's first director. And so there are three major economic areas. Oh, so the Trilateral Commission was also formed then too. And Europe, North America, and the Far East, which is Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan and all that. If under a pretext of having to join forces to be able to face economic competition with the other two economic regions, the member countries of each of these three regions decide to merge into one single country, forming three super states. Then the one world government will be almost achieved. Oh, that's what they're trying to do. Okay. It explains a lot more than, so we won't be the United States and Canada. We will have a new name is what they want. So I believe it's going to be a state. I just lost my place. Sorry, guys. So this aim is almost achieved in Europe with a single European act, the Maastricht Treaty, which was implemented in 1993, requiring all of the European community to abolish their trade barriers and to hand over their monetary and fiscal policies to the technocrats of the European Commission in Brussels. In January of 2002, all of these European countries abandoned their national currencies to share one common currency, the euro. That's what it is. And it is. You can use the euro, but you can't use the euro in Northern Ireland. They have their own money in Northern Ireland, but they still use the euro in Ireland and Scotland. Moreover, the Nice Treaty removes more powers from the countries to give them over to the European Commission, which began innocently in 1952 as the EEC, or the European Economic Community, a common authority to regulate the coal and steel industry among European nations, finally turned into a European superstate. Jean Monnet, a French socialist economist, sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied, guys. Vocabulary words are too big right now. And founder of the EEC had this in mind when he said political union inevitably follows economic union. He also said in 1948, the creation of a united Europe must be regarded as an essential step towards the creation of a united world. So they've already got Europe, and now Australia was just added because of COVID. As regards to the North American area, the merger of its member countries is well underway with the passage of free trade between Canada and the U.S. and then Mexico. And then in the next few years, this free trade agreement is supposed to include all of South and Central America with a central currency for them all. Mexico's president Vicente Fox said on May 6, 2002, in Madrid, eventually our long-range objective is to establish with the United States, but also with Canada, our other regional partner, an ensemble of connections and institutions similar to those created by the European Union. Wow. In 1973, the world divided into 10 kingdoms. So the Club of Rome, a UN operative, issues a report entitled Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System. And this report divides the entire world into 10 kingdoms. If you guys want to see this, this is how they divided up the 10 kingdoms. And it shows it all divided. If you guys want, I can post. I'll just save them and then I'll post them onto our. Or would you rather not, Bobby, post these on our national page?
What's that?
This timeline of the New World Order. That's what this is. This is on, I mean, actually people could go online and find this. I'll tell you what it's called. Fieldhide, the timeline of the New World Order. I just found this website, and it talks about everything of the New World Order.
I don't know how Facebook would react to it.
Okay. Well, if anybody wants it, I can email it to them, or I can send it onto their messenger if you guys really want to read up on it. There's a lot of shit on here. And this is just information. This has already happened. It's in the past. So it's not like saying, well, I think this is going to happen. No, you can actually look this stuff up, this information. That's how I've got it. If Facebook wants to fact check it, whatever, dude, it's here on the internet. So, but yeah, I won't post it on our national page. We don't need the unwanted attention from it. But even though it's still history, you know, oh crap, I lost my place. Past that, we're in the 70s, sorry. I went all the way to the top of the page. honestly, I still, like I said, I had no idea this was this involved with all of this crap. Okay. By the European Union. Okay, and that's the like I said, the 10 kingdoms. The U.S. is the first one. It's the U.S. and Canada. And then I can't really read this map. It kind of sucks. The second kingdom is the U.K., parts of Europe. Three is like Japan. Wow, they got this all jacked up. It's all over the place. But anyway, if you guys want it, I'll upload it for you. So in 1979, FEMA was created. Yay. And it was given huge powers, and it has the power in case of national emergency to suspend laws and to move entire populations, arrest and detain citizens without a warrant, and hold them without trial. Crap, I didn't know that. I didn't know they had all those powers. I thought that was, what's that? The not National Security Act, what's it called? Shit. Where the military can detain you for no reason, for as long as they want. But I thought that had to do with things like that. I didn't know FEMA had that control. But it can seize property, food supplies, transportation systems, and can suspend the Constitution. Not only is it the most powerful entity in the United States, but it was not even created under constitutional law by the Congress. It was a product of a presidential executive order. An executive order becomes law simply by a signature of the president, and it doesn't even have to be approved by the representatives or senators in Congress. Holy crap. A state of national emergency could be a terrorist attack, natural disaster, stock market crash. So here's just a few of the executive orders associated with FEMA that could suspend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. To seize all communications media in the United States, the right to seize all electric power, fuels, and minerals, both public and private, the right to seize all means of transportation, including personal vehicles of any kind, the total control of highways, seaports, and waterways, the right to seize any and all American people and divide up families in order to create workforces to be transferred to any place the government sees fit. The right to seize all health, education, and welfare facilities, both public and private. The right to force registration of all men, women, and children in the United States. The right to seize all airspace, airports, and aircraft. The right to seize all housing and finance authorities in order to establish relocation designation areas, and to force abandonment of areas classified as unsafe, and the right to seize all railroads, inland waterways, and storage facilities, both public and private, and lastly, authorizes plans to establish government control of wages and salaries and credit the flow of money in U.S. financial institutions. And that is scary shit, that they have that much authority. And that's all part of Agenda 21, by the way. Oh, and Bobby, here it is. It was in 1991 when Bush Sr. brought it up. And you can go on YTube and watch him do his little speech. But it was,
yeah,
was in 1991 when he said it.
Yeah, I was still in the service. Like I said,
I wasn't even in yet.
I was.
Oh, shit, I didn't even decide to go in for 91, 2001, 16 more years before I went in. Bush Sr. phrases the New World Order in a State of the Union message. What is at stake is more than one small country. It's a big idea, a New World Order, to achieve universal aspirations of mankind based on shared principles and the rule of law, the illumination of 1,000 points of light. The winds of change are now with us. Wow. I can't even say this word. I don't even know why I'm like tongue-tied. Shit. Alex Bailey said it. Use that very same expression, points of light, in describing the process of occult enlightenment. And that's exactly what the Illuminati says, by the way. In June of 91, Bilderberg Society in Baden-Baden, Germany, world leaders are gathered for another closed-door meeting of the Bilderberg Society in Baden-Baden, Germany. While at the meeting, Rockefeller said in a speech, "We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promise of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. But the world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. the supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the nation autodetermination practiced in past centuries. Wow. October 29th, 1991, David Funderburk. Ah, crap. All right. My little... He's a former ambassador to Romania, tells North Carolina audience, George Bush has been surrounding himself with people who believe in a one-world government. They believe that the Soviet system and the American system are converging. Well, ain't that nice? May 21st, 92, Henry Kissinger, in address to the Bilderberger, Evian France, the former Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, declares, today Americans would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. One thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. And if you guys don't see it coming right now with the lockdowns, wearing the mask, it's just 14 days. It's just 14 more days. You know, this bullshit vaccine passport and all that. And people are just handing over their rights like it's nothing. And I'm just not going to do it. I won't. So July 20th, 1992, The Birth of Global Nation by Strobe Talbot. He wrote that. He was a roommate of Bill Clinton, go figure, at Oxford University, CFR director and trilateralist. And he was appointed deputy secretary of state by Bill Clinton, in which he writes, nationhood as we know it, will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. All countries are basically social arrangements, no matter how permanent or even sacred they may seem at any one time. In fact, they are all artificial and temporary. Perhaps national sovereignty wasn't such a great idea after all. But it has taken the events of our own wondrous and terrible century to clinch the case for a world government. In 1993, the Second Parliament of World Religions met, and it's held in Chicago on the 100th anniversary of the first. Like the first convention, this one seeks to join all the religions of the world into one harmonious whole, but it wants to make them merge back into their original element. Traditional beliefs of monotheistic religions, such as Christianity, are considered incompatible with individual enlightenment and must be drastically altered. Basically, what they're saying is Christianity is going to be abolished, and they're going to make us believe or try to make people believe in more than one God, because I believe every other religion has more than one God, don't they? Except Catholicism. That's still Christianity. But I believe every other religion in the world has more than one God, if I'm correct. And July 18th, 1993, NAFTA, CFR member and trilateralist Henry Kissinger writes in the Los Angeles Times concerning NAFTA, which is a North American Free Trade Agreement. What Congress will have before it is not a conventional trade agreement, but the architecture of a new international system, a first step towards a new world order. In 1994, the Global Governance for the 21st Century. damn it, sorry. And the Human Development Report by the UN Development Program, there was a section called Global Governance but for the 21st Century. The administrator for this program was appointed by Bill Clinton, and his name was James Gustav Spett. The opening sentence of the report said, mankind's problems can no longer be solved by a national government. What is needed is a world government. This can be best achieved by strengthening the United Nations system. And on May 3rd of 94, Bill Clinton signs Presidential Decision Directive 25. It declares Presidential Decision Directive 25 and then declares it classified so the American people can't see what it says. The summary of PDD 25 issued to members of Congress tells us that it authorized the president to turn over control of the military unit to the UN command. So, let me see if that's still in effect. Hold on a second. I'm looking up the extra. Let's see. Oh, wow, they've declassified it now. So pretty much they can have all branches of our military and hand over control to the UN. But it's never been done. September 23rd, 1994, more people began to wake up. The globalists realized that as more and more people began to wake up to what's going on, they have only a limited amount of time in which to implement their policies. Speaking at the United Nations Ambassador's Dinner, David Rockefeller remarks, this present window of opportunity during which a truly peaceful and interdependent world order might be built will not be opened for too long. We are on the verge of a global transformation, and all we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. Bingo, winner, winner, chicken dinner, as they say, and COVID is the exact thing that they need. And they've already said that, so you can go watch Charles Schwab in Davos, Switzerland, when they had that last meeting, and the one they just had, speak about it. March of 95, global taxes. UN delegates meet at the World Summit for Social Development in Copenhagen, Denmark, to discuss various methods for imposing global taxes on the people of the world. And September of 95, guess what was created? HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. It's a top-secret U.S. Navy installation called HAARP, High Frequency Active Aural Research Program, in the state of Alaska. This project beams powerful radio energy into the Earth's upper atmosphere. One of the goals is to develop the capability of manipulating local weather. Using the techniques developed by Bernard Eastland, I didn't know it started in 95. I thought it was in like 2014. That's what a lot of people believe has created some of these freaky weather patterns and these horrific hurricanes like Katrina of the past, even the blizzard they had in Texas. I mean, shit like that. I'm not saying it did, but there's speculation. I've seen a lot of people talking about that what's control. I mean, what could be controlling some of this weird shit that's going on? So September 27th, 1995, State of the World Forum, fall of this year, sponsored by Gorbachev Foundation, located at the Presidio in San Francisco. The foundation president, Jim Garrison, chairs the meeting of who's who from around the world, including Margaret Thatcher, Maurice Strong, George Bush, Mikhail Gorbachev, and others. And conversation centers around the oneness of mankind and the coming global government. However, the term global governance is now being used in place of a new world order, since the latter has become a political liability, being a lightning rod for opponents of global government. So you will hear both, but everyone's going back to the New World Order thing now. In 96, Our Global Neighborhood was written by, Nelson Mandela. Outlines a plan for global governance, calling out for an international conference of global governance in 1998 for the purpose of submitting to the world the necessary treaties and agreements for ratification by the year 2000. I'm sorry. I just don't see, honestly, a global peace treaty between the Middle East and Israel or the Middle East and some other regions of the world. I just don't see it happening. There's just from 2003 or whatever to now, there's just, I don't know. I think that's going to be a stumbling block for them. So 2003, a state of emergency. The world is on the verge of another global war. The state of emergency looked for by the one worlders to impose martial law and the universal microchip under the skin. But with God's help, they will not have the last word. Huh. So that was the last of 2003. Any questions? Yada, yada. Concerns? Comments? Anything?
I'm awake.
Is this not astounding? Is that not like, wow. How far back all this shit started?
I know.
I mean, and look, it is. And if people don't want to believe it, just say, hey, go look it up. It's that easy to look it up. Come on. See, now my computer wants to be a pain in the ass. So what is Agenda 21? And that's part of the New World Order. And now they're calling it Agenda 2030 because they fucked it up for 21, henceforth 2021. So what they want is depopulation of the world by 95% by the year 2030 instead of this year. It was supposed to be for this year, but now they want it to be done by 2030. Okay. So, excuse me. So most people are unaware that one of the greatest threats to their freedom may be a UN program which plans to depopulate 95% of the world. The name of the plan is called Agenda 21, and it was developed by the UN and Economic Social Affairs Division for Sustainable Development as part of sustainability program policy. And according to the United Nations website, Agenda 21 is a comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally, and locally by organizations of the UN system, government, and major groups in every area in which humans have an impact on the environment. So China, India, was there any other country that has more than a billion people? I don't know if Russia's got, you know what I'm saying? Because I know India's got a little over 1 billion. China's got over 1 billion. And there's roughly, there's almost 8 billion people in the world. So in a nutshell, the plan calls for governments to take control of all land and not leave any of the decision-making to the hands of private property owners. It is assumed that people are not good stewards of their land and their government would do a better job if they're in control. Individual rights in general are to give away to the needs of communities as determined by the governing body. Moreover, people should be rounded up off the land and packed into human settlements or islands of human habitation close to the employment centers and transportation. Another program called the Wildlands Project spells out how most of the land is to be set aside for non-humans. Agenda 21 policies date back to the 70s, but got its real start in 92 at the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro when Bush signed on to it. And Clinton signed it later and continued the program in the United States. It's a, Agenda 21 is a soft law and did not have to be voted on by Congress. A non-governmental organization called the International Council of Local Initiatives, ICLEI, is what it's called, is tasked with carrying out the goals of Agenda 21. Over 600 cities in the U.S. are members, and that number is growing. And the costs are paid by taxpayers. Unfortunately, they removed the video on YouTube. Like I said, they're starting to delete all this shit. You can actually look it up, what cities have signed up with Agenda 21. And like I said, there's over 600. Bobby, if I said your city did in South Carolina, but you moved, right? You don't live in the same place, or do you live in the same city?
No, I still live in the same city.
Oh, okay. I can't remember. I just know that there's a couple cities in your state. But, yeah. You know what? I'm going to find – my computer decided to, like, go all retard when I was trying to look this stuff up. Hold on. In the, what's it called? Yeah, my computer went all stupid. And it was flashing. And I'm like, great. It knows what I'm doing tonight on my show. Okay, here we go. This is what COVID and the New World Order, and this is, I had this and this website glitched. So let me see if it'll open back up again. Okay. So this pandemic has resulted in unprecedented changes to our lives and the economy. We know this. It sucks. The enforced switch to virtual work, to our travel, damn it, and consumption patterns and bans on social gatherings have generated a seismic shift towards virtual activity. No, I don't. Oh, see, this already started. Anything that could be done virtually is now being done virtually. Everybody knows this. A lot of jobs have converted to virtual everything. The lockdown has had us thinking about what the future will bring. A new white paper compiled by a panel of thought leaders and co-edited by Dr. Jane Thomason and Jana Pache has been released, COVID and the New World Order, Actionable Insights from a Global Technology Thought Leaders. See, hold on a second. So the paper covers some of the macro changes from the impact it's had, that COVID's had on a society, healthcare, small and medium-sized businesses, of which we have lost a shit ton of small businesses. Some of them were affected so bad that they can't reopen. And all those so-called loans, remember from the first stimulus package that went out? All of these businesses were supposed to get loans, and they never did. As a matter of fact, wasn't it $1 trillion of it has not even been used, has not even been used yet? And businesses could have been saved. And the monetary system and governance, many of these changes are driven by a seemingly systematic inability to respond effectively to the crisis in government, business, and society. And so the paper urges a rethinking of the economic system, and they're selling fear, and people are buying it. And now with the three new variants, Epsilon, Delta, and Lambda, go figure, they have no idea. I don't even know how they have a variant. They don't know what the symptoms are, and they can't test it. So how do they know? And they don't even know what the symptoms are. And who shared that video about the PCR testing? Did someone share a video today? about that. The test was wrong. The way they did it has such a high a variance where it could pick up everything. So they don't even know if it's influenza A, B, or COVID. Yada, 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 yada. So COVID has exposed the fragility of nation states and indeed the existing world order. It hasn't brought out anything new. It exposed the weaknesses of the old and the weaknesses of all states, seeing themselves as post-industrial, walking backwards into the future. Wow, the UK's economy crashed. I didn't know that. It crashed because of COVID. Did you hear about that?
No.
See, unless they're lying about it. But, yeah, that was
no,
one of the...
No, them lies.
No, I know they're lying. Okay. This is just a website, okay, where I got this information. You know, I know, and the conversation around the water cooler, we all know it's called a pandemic for a reason. But this website called the Blogging Hounds, hold on a second. Ultimate proof COVID-19 was planned to usher in the new world order. We have proof of the Rothschild patented COVID-19 biometric test. Holy shit, in 2015 and 2017. I'm surprised the people who wrote this article are not dead. But yeah. So it's not disputable since the information comes from official patented registries in the Netherlands and U.S. Holy shit, they actually have the documentation. I'll have to take time and really read into this. Damn it. Why? But this shows they have a patent on the virus and the testing strips on all the test kits. So a method is provided for acquiring and transmitting biometric data of a user where the data is analyzed to determine whether the user is... Oh, so that's what they're talking about. You know, seeing the Russian hacker? He hacked their system. And it actually shows every single person who is vaccinated and if they're sick and if they have a temperature and if they have any symptoms of anything. It actually has your whole health. I mean, it's picked up everything from their vaccine. I forgot what they call their vaccine. But the method includes using a pulse ox to acquire at least pulse and blood oxygen saturation percentage, which is transmitted wirelessly to a smartphone. To ensure that the data is accurate, an accelerometer within the smartphone is used to measure movement of the smartphone and the user. Well, shit, I'm getting rid of my smartphone. Screw this crap. So they actually, whoever gets the vaccine, they're able to track everything about you. And this is what we said. Like, if you sneeze, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen all the memes and the videos and all the smart-ass shit that people have created. People with allergies, they sneeze, they have someone come knocking on the door, you know, and saying, oh, my God, you got COVID? But that's exactly what the patents are for. And there is a patent. Hold on, open it up. But, yeah, this was done in 2017. Richard A. Rothschild, a Rothschild inventor who created the United States a patent application publication in 2017. And you can actually download it yourself from Google Patents. Let's see. They were scheduled to be made public in September of last year. And that's sufficient evidence that they've known in 2015. If you guys remember, Fauci made a video when he did his little whatever in 2017. He said that the Trump administration deal with a mystery illness that would affect the world. He even said it in 2017. A bunch of people posted it on Facebook, and they got put in Facebook jail, or as I call it, fascist book. And they're still doing it. You're not allowed to post anything about COVID at all, whether it's a whether it's the truth or not, they don't care. Hold on, guys. My glasses. I just jacked up my glasses and I can't see shit. Sorry. I'm trying to clean them and I smudged them. Be lucky if you don't wear glasses. Okay. Anywho. So in 2017 and in 2018, 2 years before COVID came out, hundreds of millions of test kits for COVID-19 were distributed worldwide. So we said it, guys. Everyone's been, a lot of people said it. It's why we call it a plandemic. They knew all about this. And like I said, you can look up the patents on the test kits, on the vaccine. All of it was already done. So 2 years before the outbreak in the U.S. and the EU and China and nations around the world started exporting millions of diagnostic test instruments for COVID-19, supposedly that didn't even exist back then. Now, here's the thing. How long have they been working on a vaccine? Because it had to be a lot sooner than 9 months, right? But the thing is, they changed part of it, and it's not really because now they want you to get a monthly shot of a booster shot. And correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I don't know if you've heard this. Moderna and AstraZeneca in the UK, they will not use those vaccines because of all the people that have died because of the myocarditis and all of that shit. So those two. The only one is the Johnson & Johnson, and was it Pfizer, are the only two that can be used. So none of it actually makes any sense unless this is not actually a pandemic. Okay, never mind. I just said what I said. It's not a pandemic. It's a plandemic. And so on this article, you could go to their proof of where they've got everything. I saved it. If anybody wants it, message me, and I will email them this article. And by all means, that's up to you guys if you want to look it up. But that's some weird shit. Hold on a second. I'm trying to find the – oh, here it is. Oh, no, that's the same thing, the test kits. Here it is. I found the article, the one that glitched, and let's see if it doesn't do it again. So the coronavirus butterfly effect, it's 6 predictions for a new world order, and this is from – I don't know what this company is. And see, it did it again. It just, okay, here it goes. So the world may soon pass peak virus, but true recovery will take years, and the ripple effects will be seismic. Parikhana and Karan Kemka forecast the aftershocks. So basically, a chaos theory about the butterfly effect. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a butterfly effect, and it's already it's glitching again. It won't let me read this article.
I heard of it, but I don't remember what it is.
So basically, it describes a small change that can have massive, unpredictable consequences. This is what it caused. An insect will flap its wings, and a week later, it causes a tornado. I know that's a little far-fetched, but you know what I'm saying? So that's like saying that you can't go to the you can't if you could time travel, to go back to the past to change an event that will affect the whole future, and it could cause tropic cascade effects, because depending on how far back you go,
that's right.
You can't occupy the same time that your former self is in. So just say we could time travel. I cannot go back in the past from now until 1970. Because technically my mom was pregnant with me in 1970 and I was born in 71. So technically, because I was still around, I wasn't born yet. So to avoid the tropic cascade effect, you have to go farther back. But that's what basically what this whole butterfly effect bullshit is. But I'm having a brain fart today, a bunch of them. They're comparing the coronavirus to an earthquake, permanently reshape the world. And that's what it is. So they're selling fear. It really is a virus, even though it was man-made. It was a virus to start with, and they gene manipulated it as what it is. Okay, so it really is a virus. So they're selling the fear of, oh, my God, the death rate is this, this, and this, and this. But come to find out that SARS death rate is 30%. MERS was like, I don't know, 10, 15%. And COVID is less than, it's 1 to 3%, if that, depending on your age bracket, if you're immunocompromised and things of that such. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it would be like 3%. So why didn't they start? See, what I don't get is why did they not start all this shit over SARS at 30% death rate? You know what I'm saying? It would have, if they would have pulled this crap,
it's already at a high death rate.
You would have scared every freaking person to death to what they wanted now. See, I think, honestly, I think they screwed up.
I think that's what it sounds like, because now since people didn't die from COVID itself, they're killing them off with the immunization or the vaccine.
And so they should have, hey guys, you fucked up, okay? You should have done this with SARS. Just to scare everybody to start this. When was SARS? A couple years ago? I can't remember. It's been, what, 5, 6 years? Maybe?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to any of that crap.
Yeah,
I think it was
6 years.
So, you know what I'm saying? If they would have pulled this ultimate plan of theirs, say, oh, my God, there's a 30% death rate. Do you know how many people would have complied? I would have. At a 30% death rate? Shit, I never would have left my damn house. But guess what? We didn't die. So even with a 30% death rate, you couldn't scare the world with 30%. And they want us to believe that something less than 1% for healthy people, that's what I don't get. So, like I said, I believe from all of the virology people that I have watched videos, and they're probably in hiding right now, and it's a good thing I don't know names, because I would not say their name, because I don't want them Clinton-sided, but how they have said that the mRNA is supposed to, what was the last thing that, the last video that her, the mRNA is supposed to disguise what's in the vaccine to trick the body. And that's what it is. And that's why, okay, and so not enough people died from the virus, because it's not 600,000 people, and they know it. They've already admitted it. It's more like 6% of actual COVID deaths of the 600,000 were actually from COVID, which is more believable, okay?
And
so
then the nursing home or have the underlying health condition.
Well, and that's the other thing. And that dumbass in New York is how many thousands of nursing home patients died because you put sick people back in a nursing home with all of their comorbidities. So and things like that. And so you make the vaccine. So you scare everybody into getting a vaccine. And I'll have you know that when SARS came out, I knew though when SARS came out and MERS came out, I got the vaccine, the flu vaccine. I got it that year. Nothing happens. Okay. But I honestly don't think they meant that they didn't plan it right. So that's why when this came out, I'm like, something doesn't sound right. When we started doing all the research. And that's all we do. So what I think with all these new variants, they're trying to say it's killing people who were unvaccinated, but it's not true because the death rate for the new variants supposedly is less than 0.5%. It's more contagious, like the common cold, of course, but the death rate is still under 0.5%. The people that it's actually killing the most of are the vaccinated people. See, that's what I think their ultimate plan is. You know, that's why that Biden said, I want 75% of the population to be vaccinated so they can eliminate 75% of the United States. That's what I think. Let me rephrase. That's my opinion because of everything that I have found. On all the research that I have found. And that's why you're noticing more and more doctors are telling people not to get vaccinated. They refuse. And I'm glad. So, but do your own research. If you are hell-bent on getting the vaccine, more power to you. Do what you think you need to do. Just understand the consequences. Don't give it to your children. Don't let them be a martyr or, don't. If you want to do it, you do it. But don't let your kids go through that shit. Indeed, rather than the peak of recovery, which implies return to how things were, it would be wise to project what new direction civilization will take. That, too, will be a bumpy ride. The next 3 to 5 years will remind us that COVID-19 was a lightning before the thunder. Of course, it's difficult to draw straight lines between cause and effect. With the benefit of hindsight, we can now trace how the Treaty of Versailles and the Great Depression enabled the rise of Hitler. But the hyper-connected world of today, dense global networks enable butterfly effects to ripple and amplify more rapidly. And that's why Australia and all of Europe has already started with the New World Order. Like they said, go look up the video. Just type up, has Australia begun the New World Order? That's how I saw the video. And it's on YouTube. And it'll show you their prime minister, president, or whatever they have, their leader, said that life is not going back to the way it was. So you're not allowed to leave your home unless it's to work. And one person can only go out to do the shopping. I mean, that's the way they want it. So can we forward engineer probable scenarios emerging from the consequences of today's pandemic? Given how stretched our institutions are in coping with the current crisis, few tasks to be more urgent in helping us prepare for the future. Is it easy to predict further doom after a devastating phenomenon such as COVID? Reality will likely turn out differently, and it certainly can. So we only got 8 minutes left. What do you guys think about all this shit, honestly, from start to finish? From all the crap. From the timeline of the New World Order when they actually started it to now.
I think it's a bunch of bullshit.
I second that. Oh, I do too. I think it's crap, but I can't believe they started it way back then. In all honesty, I cannot believe that.
Good luck telling me I can't grow it where I want and when I want.
No, I know that. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe that we fought, and this is what pisses me off, is the fact that we had our Revolutionary War for our government to say, damn, we never should have done that. Because if we would have stayed under British rule, it would have been so much easier to accomplish the New World Order. But guess what? Us freaking selfish colonists back in the day said, screw you. No, we want our freedom. And that's what happened. We got our freedom. And I think people should not, this is just me now. I got to say, this is just my opinion. But, wow. That's all I got to say is wow. So, I did not think that we had that many traitors back in the day.
So. I never thought it would ever even got this far. My God, this is just crazy.
Honestly, me either. And the fact that the Illuminati has used everybody, infiltrated groups, so the lower levels of people have no idea what's going on. So it's a secret within a secret. Our secret society has a secret society. And they use people. And it's like, wow. The fall of the cabal, she's got another whole series of 17 videos, and they're 45 minutes long a piece. And I saw the first one, and oh my God, I'm floored. Absolutely
floored.
Where do you
find time to do all this shit? My God.
Dude, I don't work. This is my life, okay?
Oh, well, that explains it, because I don't have time to do nothing.
I'm hoping to have that dean's job by the end of the month, but hey, you know, God willing, the world's still here. Actually, not really. I'd rather just go and get it over with. But she... The chick who made the original, she's not even from America. She's from England or somewhere over there. And she originally started it because she hated Trump. Hated Trump. Until she started getting into, and she went way down the rabbit hole. This chick went, she started on one side of the world, and she's now on the other side. That's how far down the rabbit hole this shit goes.
Hey, did you see over in Haiti the president that got killed over there? They were asking for help and fused.
Yeah, Biden's a dick, and he said no.
Yeah.
Oh, but guess what they're doing? But no. But guess what they're doing? They're bringing vaccines there. See, here's the thing. was it the Nigerian president? Ah, shit, I forgot. Well, there's three countries, Haiti and two others. They said, we are not going to give any of our citizens the vaccine. They're all dead. All three presidents are dead.
Wow.
Yeah. So their country is in chaos. And Biden said, no, but we'll send you the vaccine. So... Oh, and guess what? Did you guys hear? We got 3 minutes. I got to make this really quick. Cuba is protesting. They want their freedom. They said, we're sick and tired of socialized medicine, and we're tired of a dictatorship.
I think I've seen a clip on that on the news, and I see that Trump flag being flown.
Oh, yeah. They had the American flag flying, and they said, and so one of their military I don't know, generals, whatever they use, if they use the same terminology, they said they will have to walk over the cold, dead body of their dictator before they get their freedom.
Huh.
Yeah. That could be arranged.
Yeah.
Not by me, but I'm sure somebody can arrange that. So,
right.
Everybody wants to be free. They're sick and tired of it.
Yep.
Oops, sorry. Pick up some water.
All right, we got
my
2 minutes.
My damn allergy is driving me nuts. Go ahead. Do your thing.
As usual, another great show. Thanks, Lorna, for being with us again. And our Colonel John, he skipped out on us earlier, so.
Hey, here's
God bless
Blackman.
America.
Nah.
God bless our troops, our kids, veterans, and God bless the Defender 7. Have
Good night.
A great night, girls.
Good night.